names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I have to tell you, I have never preached on this before purposefully, because afterwards you hear that people who do preach on this get an earful of why something you said was wrong and derogatory toward women or toward men or toward both, which generally means you kind of got it right in what you were saying, but I never would say that to you. If you have to say that to me today, I will nod and say I will do better next time. Which would mean I'll never do this passage ever again. This passage is what we usually call the second stage, or just the second creation story. I think that mostly what we need to remember when we start reading these verses is to quote Dr. Ronald Byers, that writers of the Old Testament generally do theology by telling a story. Sometimes historical and sometimes using imaginative accounts framed as history. I am not saying this did not happen or that it is a fable or made up. I am saying that what we are hearing are truths about God and about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. If we look at verse 18, the first verse I read, we could, and people often do, suggest that God had just figured out that Adam needed others. Other living things. Eventually, he needed these to have a good and fulfilling life. One of these, the things we avow and know about God, is that God is all-knowing. So no, God did not just come to this realization after Adam looked at all the animals. God knew this was coming. He was just letting Adam catch up with God. And that's the first thing that we need to remember today. God already knows. Knows us, knows about us, knows everything about us, and God already knows where we will be down the road. Which is a scary thought. Because He knows everything I have ever done. And yet He still loves me and cares about me and reaches out to me. Think of that. Just like God went to Adam, gave him the chance to meet every animal, to name every animal, which is an important thing, especially in this Hebrew tradition. Naming something meant you had some sense of power over that person, which is one of the reasons that when Moses asked for God's name, God said, "I am who I am. Just don't even try that with me." In this time, we know that God loves the man tremendously and wants Adam to understand that he will be happier with a partner. Someone like him, but different from him. But he lets Adam go through the whole thing so that Adam to get to the same place where God already was. That is how God loves us. He puts up with us and cares for us. And before we go too much further, a couple of things about this business of a man who came first and women came second. Some people say that a man should rule over the women. I did not say that. My wife is right over there. I'm smarter than that. I'm not real smart, but I'm smarter than that. And I hate to tell you this, but that thought process is not only not logical, It's just not true for what I've seen in my life. And it's BS. And I won't say the other letters in that. Sometime order matters. But with all apologies to Paul, I believe in this case that it is not what this story is telling us. The story is not about who's in charge. It's about how they come together and do good things together. We are made to be in community with one another, especially with that special persons around us. People who become family, people who are living in family. God tells us we need each other. What he's telling Adam is, you're not going to be all alone. You can have all the dogs and cats you want, but that's not going to fill up your life. You need to be around others in community. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to be married to be fulfilled or even to be godly. While I am all good with marriage, yes, dear, I'm really happy we're married. Yet being a single person does not mean that you are missing out on the chance to be deeply in community. I think that it is easier to be in community when you are married, because then she does all the hard work of remembering the names and I can't remember any of them. So it's good to do that. But it's not a requirement. It's not like you are missing out of being a part of God's creation and His plans for life if you don't have a wife or a husband. You don't have to be in a certain way or place or time in relationships. You just have to be in community with other people. It may be a lot easier to do it if you are married. You might get stretched out of your comfort zone. But if you're willing to take those chances when you aren't married, then good for you. You're out there learning other people, coming to be able to be in connection with other people. And it is very important. That is why Adam got Eve. What God is telling us here is what we are recognizing theologically is that we were made to be in community. All of us. Now I have to tell you, I don't like that. I am an introvert, beyond bad introvert. I am way over the top introvert. If I had my way, I'd let my wife in the house. I'd keep my dog right there, but everybody else can just go away. I'd be all right with that. But God knows that I really wouldn't be all right like that. That there's more that God expects of me to do in community for the joy of all of us. Over the years, humans have gathered together for protection, for fellowship, for joy, to argue, sometimes get along, but very seldomly with all of us. To be with people who think differently than we are. To be with people who have different backgrounds than ours so that we might broaden our perspective on what is humanity. Because God has made us all, and we can't understand the all, or at least even get to where the limit is of what we could understand, unless we're willing to go out and care enough to get to know other people and let them get to know you as well. The need to be with others of our species is woven into us by God. That is what this story is telling us. We all live in community. Many other species that God created also are communal. But some are not. Some are less communal. Some are more communal. Just like all of us. Scientifically, study after study tells us that as humans, that our health is at a higher risk of things if we do not live in community. Things like diabetes, dementia, weakened immune systems, high blood pressure, and obesity are all at higher levels. And if you Google this, you'll get like 100 more things that are bad for your body and your system if you are not in communion with other people, if you are not in committee. community with other people. It hurts us because we are made to be that way. And if we fight being in community, isolating ourselves, we aren't who we should be. And physically, it shows on us. We learned so much with COVID. Not a great period of time. Not many of us look back and say, yay, I'm glad we had those 24 months where we couldn't figure out anything to do and we sat and watched reruns of whatever. But we learned a lot about how much we are made to be in communion, in a community. Studies now that are tracking are showing that young people who went through different phases during that time of COVID are different. They're different. They've lost some things that they have to work at to get back together with being in community and understanding how to communicate. Some of the things we did during COVID were really good for community. We had Zoom. We had all kinds of ways to kind of connect with each other. That was good to a point. To a point. But if that's all we rely on, we will miss out on truly being in community. Being with others, talking, listening, and listening at least twice as much as you are talking, is how you get to know the community that is around you and how you can grow within that community. That is what God has made us to be. Sometimes we don't particularly care for that. We don't like what the other people say or do. But unless we're willing to open ourselves to them and they to us, our community becomes broken. Today, in this country especially, and I'm sure around the world, there seems to be an all-out attack on community. People don't have the option to get together and talk about things of importance because things get really bad quickly if we're not very careful. The thing about community is like family, because family is the ultimate community. And when you know your family, you know all the warts, you know all the quirks, you know all the things that people say that you go, wow, they really don't remember themselves as a young person, do they? Thank you. That's another great thing God does for us. We forget how stupid we really are. But we have to stay in community. One of the great things about these young men that are around me is that they are truly in community here. And if they don't get out of their room, we make them get out of their room to get into community as best we can. Not just because we want them to meet other people and to get better and educated, but because that is what makes people feel good. It's being in community, one with another. God makes it so important. He shows it to us at the very beginning of creation. And each and every other day. We call this meal that we will have together today communion. For we are in community, one of God's children. In a season in this country where everyone seems to try to separate us from community, let us remember that God made us to be there in that community with one another and never, ever forget that. I give thanks to God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.